Congressman Warren Davidson, welcome back to the program. Good to have you on today.
Hey, Brian. Always great to talk with you.
I was just, as I was waiting, just diving into the $3.5 trillion plan, Biden was meeting with the various factions within the Democratic Party yesterday, trying to shore up some kind of consensus to get this thing passed. This is the one they want to pass through reconciliation. Part of the problem they have is a wing of their party, the far left wing, wants the infrastructure package tied to passage of this $3.5 trillion socialist dream package. But they can't even get a consensus on the $3.5 trillion package in and of itself and by itself. The Senate at least passed the so-called infrastructure package with some bipartisan assistance. So how do you see this playing out? Because my understanding is Monday is the deadline to vote on the infrastructure package, but the AOCs of the world want to tie the two together somehow. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, Speaker Pelosi started that out right as they were coming out of the victory of getting the infrastructure bill through the Senate. And she basically told Joe Biden, well, you know, we're not moving this without the $3.5 trillion. And, of course, she's getting pressure from the far left to do that. I think that was the deal that she cut with the far left to settle for $3.5 trillion. I mean, you go back, they were wanting $7 to $10 trillion. Bernie Sanders is the guy that brokered the deal to settle for $3.5 trillion, which is, you know, just an insane number. And, I mean, any of this stuff, there isn't even somebody that will lend us that much money. There's no, even though this is the biggest tax bill in history, going way beyond, you know, what the tax code was before, it is the biggest tax increase in history. It still wouldn't pay for the new spending, let alone put a dent in the massive deficits that have already been there.
Proving what?
Thankfully, there are some Democrats who still know math.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's something to that effect. But they also failed to appreciate, I think it's been demonstrated time after time after time after time. Kennedy understood it. Reagan understood it. Clinton even understood it. That when you lower taxes, the revenue that goes into the federal government tends to increase because business flourishes under lower taxation. This is the problem the left always has when they want to increase taxes.
Yeah, and why does it flourish? Because average people have more money at home, and they put it into the, you know, it's a consumer-driven economy. People will consume with a lot of it. And look, there are the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill could have been passed in August. Now, I don't really like it. I like the part that's actually infrastructure,
right?
Which even if you're generous and count broadband as part of it, it's, you know, a little over 10%. But the true core infrastructure is about 9% of it. I mean, that's not enough to pass food labeling laws to be calling it an infrastructure bill. But they want that, like in a normal year, you know, transportation, roads and bridges and all that is $75 billion or so. That's one of the components of the $3.5 trillion, you know, Bernie budget, you know, massive spending package. They've got a group of Democrats that are very insistent on we're not voting for that unless we get a vote on the infrastructure bill first. And they blocked Pelosi in August, so that's when Nancy Pelosi cut the deal, and she said by September 27th we will vote on the infrastructure bill. But she doesn't have the votes either way in the House because of the deal she cut then.
Right. At this point, she doesn't have the votes because the left wing of her party is raising their metaphorical middle finger at the notion of passing the infrastructure bill because they're not getting their $3.5 trillion budget bill in. Right? I mean, that's where her problem lies.
That's where her problem lies. And look, she's only been blocked twice so far. Once was at the end of July. And that was over the eviction moratorium. You know, they wanted to put that on the floor, and they didn't have the votes for that. So Joe Biden really unconstitutionally re-extended it, and the court reiterated.
Yeah.
And, when we ruled in June, we actually meant that you don't have the authority to do that. So far, he's listened to the court the second time. But, you know, Pelosi's losing the grip on the party, and frankly, I'm glad. I hope she just leaves and, you know, turns it over. But in terms of infrastructure, moving in a clean way, they could have done that in August. They would have had the votes for it. And I think they would because, you know, what are you going to go as AOC and say, no, you won't deliver this? Right. They say they're not going to do it, and they say they've got a big number, 30 or 40, that will go against it. And they say there's a small number, and I think it is. I think it's 20 or less that is insisting on the infrastructure bill first. But either way, I mean, they only got 4 votes. So either way, it's enough to kill it. And as Republicans, we're just trying not to get in the middle of the circular firing squad.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's nice to be able to have our popcorn out, or at least on the more conservative side of the ledger, have our popcorn out and our feet up enjoying the show for a change. What about the debt ceiling? This is another one. And I know Mitch McConnell has said, hey, go it alone. And in fact, Republicans have told the Democrats, listen, you want to raise the debt ceiling? Do it with budget reconciliation. Can they do that, which would require only the 51 votes in the Senate, not 60 that would be required under normal circumstances? But I get the sense that if the Democrats wanted to raise the debt ceiling through reconciliation, that they wouldn't get everything they want by way of the debt ceiling increase. So what's this all about, Congressman Davidson?
Well, they punted earlier this week. They put a continuing resolution up. And they moved the debt ceiling really to a date. So technically, they didn't raise the debt ceiling to a cap. So there's not really a cap right now, which is a problem. If they were to pass a bill right now, they could spend essentially unlimited money because there's the concept of a cap isn't there. And that goes out into December. So, a lot of us believe that would be the most likely scenario. Just CRs are likely because there wasn't really progress on it. Even the $3.5 trillion, it was a shell. It was a number. It was a concept. They didn't have text for it.
Right.
Clear precisely how much was going anywhere. They just weren't doing the work. And, I say that, look, Republicans did lots of CRs as well. It's a catastrophe watching how money is spent here, and partially because they're so bad at it. That's how the deficits go big. The only way to buy off the support is to spend more and more and more money. I watched bills that were considered bad on spending made better by spending more. So there's a reason it's bipartisan, the failure and addiction on spending. But I will say it's completely unprecedented what the Democrats want to do on total spending right now.
Well, spending, the dollar amount alone is insane. I mean, for all the reasons you point out, the fact that we've already got like almost $30 trillion in debt we racked up, the idea that no one will even loan us that much, there's not enough tax dollars in the world to cover it. We could go on and on and on and on. But it's the devil in the details as well. Even if you could blackboard the figure and provide a mechanism that it truly would be paid for. And I recognize that's not possible. It's what's in it that is so frightening, this whole shift to green energy. I mean, haven't we learned anything from the frozen windmills in Texas and the problems that Europe is facing right now with the wind not blowing? They're now future full reliance on the Russians to get natural gas into their countries. I mean, The scenario that's unfolding is just god-awful for the American public if we go in that direction.
No, I started calling the whole thing budgetary fentanyl. Drugs are bad, but they're really bad if you put fentanyl on them. And this is essentially that the math alone makes this a bad spending bill. When you look at what they actually want to do with it, it'll literally kill our country as we know it, fundamentally transforming it. I mean, direct payments to people that are making as much as $100,000 just massively grows the number of people that have grown accustomed to, I need this. The government is the supplier of this, and never knowing that it's really just confiscated from your neighbors or stating it that way. And look, there is a broad support for the idea of a social safety net in America. We spend about $1 trillion a year. For reference, that's hundreds of billions of dollars more than we spend on defense. It is already very big, and that's net of Social Security and Medicare. This is just means-tested programs. This would more than double the safety net by picking up new things like childcare.
Yeah.
And paid family leave.
Pre-K education. We got to get those children in there and get them brainwashed early on, Congressman.
Yeah, we got to get them masked up earlier in a government facility and pay for community college. So it's just a massive expansion of the social state. And that's when they said they wanted to fundamentally remake America, they meant it. Of course, in lots of other ways, they're working to destroy our country, which is another path to fundamentally remaking it. And look, they know that they can't in the long run afford all this. They do. They're, now, some of them don't, but just like some listeners right now don't. They say, no, it can all work. But the people that are talking about this modern monetary theory, the idea that since you have a currency, you can just keep creating money.
Yeah.
Not just be constrained by taxes, not just be constrained by what people will lend you, but you can just poof, create the money because you have a currency.
Right.
It doesn't work. It's not going to end well. It's essentially a sample pack of that already, and we're doing that.
Well,
the Federal Reserve's balance sheet's over $8 trillion. So of the $29 trillion in debt, $8 trillion of it is you know, that's where your prices are going up.
Yep.
You know, you've destroyed
yep.
the dollar. To the tune of 8/29, you know, about 27%.
It's crazy. Congressman Davidson, hold on. We're going to take a break, and we'll get your comments, brief comments on the National Defense Authorization Act. It's 7:21. It's coming up at 7:22, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Brian Thomas here with Congressman Warren Davidson. Turning now to the National Defense Authorization Act, I'm going to get your general thoughts and comments on it, but one of the things that a provision in it, which the White House is completely against, it would limit commanders' ability to discipline those individuals who refused a COVID-19 vaccination. You wouldn't be able to dishonorably discharge them. I understand you can discharge, but it would make it an honorable discharge. I understand there's sort of a big question mark floating around that. That is, again, just one provision of the NDAA. But Congressman Davidson, your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of weak sauce because you can still be kicked out. It's like you can still be fired. But in the military, there are a lot of benefits for veterans.
Right.
You get a less than honorable discharge. You're not actually eligible for many of those. So, you know, it's an important provision. There are some wins, and you know, I guess you can call that a win of sorts. It's better than letting them continue to try to kick people out with dishonorable discharges. I mean, they're talking about kicking out 10% of our Navy SEALs. I mean, you know, the amount of time, energy, talent that goes into training a Navy SEAL is enormous.
Money.
And they're talking about kicking out 10% of the Navy SEALs. I mean, this is not a bill that's good for national security. And look, by default, I start out as a basis of I automatically support the National Defense Authorization. We absolutely need to have a strong, strong military and be wise about how and where to use it. But the big thing is this comes in the midst of zero accountability for DOD. Or the administration. I mean, look, Joe Biden, Anthony Blinken, Secretary Austin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Milley, nobody's accountable for the failure in Afghanistan. Nobody's accountable for willfully leaving American citizens behind or our allies. They're actively helping elements of the Taliban target our former allies in the Panjshir Valley in Afghanistan. You know, you could leave and not actively do that. I mean, there's so many layers that are wrong on Afghanistan, not to mention the drone strike that killed civilians that Milley
right.
touted as, you know, a great success. So I think, look, the right thing to do is to withhold votes for this without some kind of accountability. I mean, it continues the problem of injustice with two tiers of justice, you know, one standard for the brass and another for the rank and file. There's just no way I can support it with no accountability.
Fair enough. And I don't think there's any question, unwavering opinion on that one from Congressman Warren Davidson. Congressman Davidson, thank you so much for the time you spent with my listeners and me today. I don't envy the job, but we certainly appreciate your being in that particular job and fighting for common sense and reason. Continue the fight. We'll look forward to having you back on the program soon, and best of health to you and your family between now and then.
Yeah, same. Thanks so much, Brian. Great talking with you.